This is After the Bell, a podcast presentation of The Opening Bell on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Grzanich.
The October Jobs Report is out, and I'm here with Paul Nolte this morning from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul, we've been going through the report. Everything looks really good.
It is. It was solid across the board. We got 250,000 new payroll job gains. Revisions were essentially flat in the prior years. We thought we would get them revised a little bit higher because of the hurricane. We really didn't see anything there. But more importantly, when you take a look at the average monthly jobs gains over the last year, and this has been true for 4 years in a row, we're running at 200,000 on average every month, and we've been doing it for 4 years. So it's been a very, very strong jobs market across the board. And more importantly here, we've seen job gains in some of those very key parts of the economy, construction and manufacturing and mining, et cetera. Those are the better paying jobs, and those have been very good for most of the year.
And remind us again what the number is that we can maintain on a monthly basis to keep the economy going.
Yeah, according to economists, we're somewhere in the 160 to 170,000. Some say 150, but somewhere in that 150 to 175 range in order to keep things status quo. So we've been running well above that, and that's part of the reason why the Fed has been concerned. And this report certainly will keep the Fed engaged and likely to raise rates in December. And actually, we did see the number tick up. The odds that they will raise rates in December move from about 75% to about 85% once this number came out.
You mentioned the job revisions for September and August. September revised down from 135,000 to about 118,000. August had a similar revision upwards, and they both canceled each other out.
Yeah. So, again, not bad, but again, when we take a look at those, and that's why I like to take a look at the full year and take an average of those 12 months, we're looking still at 200. So we've had a couple down months. We've had some very good months. On average, it's been really very good.
Let's tear this apart a little bit further. The thing that jumped off of me, in addition to wages, we'll talk about that, but the number of people participating in the labor force up 711,000.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, as we talked about this morning, when you take a look at the number of job openings, the number of job openings is greater than those people that are looking for jobs. So it when you talk to businesses, you talk to industry, they are in need of people. So it's encouraging people to come off the sidelines who have been sitting out for a long time to get back into the labor force. And that's really what we want to see in order to get to that full employment. And we're there, I think. And that's part of the reason why we didn't see a tick down with the 250,000 monthly report. You would expect the number to come down from 3.7. It stayed the same because of all those people coming off the sideline.
And remind people how many openings there are. I mean, we're talking not just a couple hundred thousand. It's in the millions.
It's right? In the millions. Yeah. And it's a very large number. It's been rising. And as I said, when you talk to businesses, they're hurting for people. They're looking for bodies to put into position. So that's why I said we've had this now for the last 3 or 4 months, and people are hearing that and coming off the sidelines, getting into the job market.
You know, and every month, too, we talk about the wages part of this. I felt like we needed to pop some champagne corks or something this morning. Finally, above 3%. Is that the real figure, or did the hurricanes play into that a little bit?
No, I don't think so, because some of the revisions actually to the prior months were actually a little bit higher. So they actually revised the numbers a little bit higher. Just like the jobless claim or the jobless report, they'll revise the prior 2 months. But we're now at 3.1, and that is officially now above the Fed's target. And that puts us really at the mid-range, or just slightly above the mid-range for the historical 2 to 4%. As we get to 4, we really start to see a lot of inflationary pressures building in the economy. So we're on that pace, and we've actually, over the last 3-4 months, wage gains have actually accelerated. So it's been a very gradual increase over the prior months. The last 4 or 5, it's actually sped up a little bit.
When we talk about these wage gains, the hourly pay is, I guess, what we look at, right? Is it just a couple mm-hmm. of, it's just a couple of pennies per person?
Yeah,
per
it's hour. Seven. Yeah, it's 7 cents per hour yeah. more this month than it was last month. And when you look at the average work week, it's been flat at about 34.5 hours. And it's been that way for a long time. So when you take that and multiply it by the average hourly wage, that number is actually up about 3.4% versus a year ago, because they were working a little less, 1 or 2 tenths of an hour less a year ago. So wages are certainly are picking up, and it's at or above the rate of inflation. So people are realizing real gains versus the inflation rate, which is also good.
If you weren't listening to the opening bell earlier this morning, we had part of our conversation focus on this, about what employers are doing in addition to bonuses and paying people more. They're talking about work, maybe you work at home a little bit part of the week. They're adding some vacation. They're trying all kinds of things to land employees.
They are, and it is very creative. It is also part of the new workforce. As millennials get into the workforce, they're looking for a lot different things than maybe the baby boomers are. They're looking for that work-life balance. And those are some of the things that attract them and make them either move jobs or get them into the workforce. And from the employer's perspective, I'm not on the hook for the wages. So if I give you an extra week's vacation because I really want to keep you on, and the economy turns down 2 years from now, I can rescind that. So it's not part of your compensation package, as it were, as if I were going to pay you $60,000 a year, and I'm on the hook now for that going forward. That's harder to cut than it is to cut some of those extra benefits. So certainly that's a dynamic that we're seeing in the market now that we haven't seen in a long time.
Again, the headline is that almost every sector saw job growth. Every major sector saw job growth. No loss in jobs. At the top of that, we have healthcare, 32,000 jobs, 36,000 jobs.
Mm-hmm. And that was across the board, you know, from hospitals to nurses and services, you know, all of those. As you mentioned, you can go down the list and get into the subcategories, and they were all on the positive side. And some of those areas, like the manufacturing and even healthcare, on a year over, you know, over the last year, 300,000 new jobs in healthcare, another 300 in manufacturing. Construction saw big gains as well. So again, there's really not anything bad to look at this report, unless you're the Fed. And the Fed is going to look at this report, and it's going to justify for them a reason to raise rates in December.
I know we often look at mining separate from manufacturing. This has been one of the areas that the Trump administration has wanted to see more jobs in. Only 5,000, 65,000 for the year, 5,000 for the last month. Is this going to be a tough area to see any major gains in, though, isn't it?
It is, because that area has really constricted an awful lot over the last 10 years or so. As we've tried to go to alternative energy sources, we've done different things with natural gas, and we're now doing a lot more with oil in the United States. The mining part of that has really fallen off. It is a lot cheaper now for natural gas than it is for coal, as an example. So that is, and that part of the economy, the mining part of the economy, is a very, very small part. So you're talking about something that really doesn't move the needle as far as the overall economy, but it's certainly something that gets some attention.
I was reading a Wall Street Journal report about mining recently, and a small rural area had opened a coal mine that had been dormant for a few years, and instead of hiring humans, they brought in new technology and robots, mining robots, basically.
Yeah, and
automation.
You know, certainly, and that automation is, we're seeing it pervasive. It's all over the place, whether it's at a local fast food, you know, where you're punching a kiosk for your order and waiting for somebody else to deliver it. Automation is showing up in a lot of different places, and part of the reason why we're seeing maybe not as much job growth as you would like to see, but certainly, you know, do you really want to be down in the mines and jeopardizing your life or have machinery handle it, and you're handling the operations of that machinery as opposed to actually down there with pickaxe and doing the mining work.
Paul, I know we haven't really talked in depth about it, but one of the areas of the job report that always brings my attention to it is discourage workers in the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
This number is pretty much held steady month after month, but there's still, believe it or not, like 500,000 people out there who don't believe that there's a job currently out there that fits their needs or fits their wants.
Yeah, and it, you know, and it's hard to get into that number and say, okay, why is that? What can we do better? What can we do different? Some of that is transition, people that have been let go of jobs that are waiting for some of their benefits to expire before they start looking for another job. Some of them are underemployed. They're not working in the capacity that they have training for, et cetera. And that's just dislocation. That's just the friction of the economy and of the job market. And I think that's fairly normal. It's now in a range that it has been for the last couple of years, as you mentioned. And I think that's probably more of a normal range. And like I said, that's really just the friction of the economy as we try to match up the new jobs that are out there, the automation that you talked about, and some of the older workers that are not trained properly to handle those new jobs.
Yeah, but as we move forward and the job market continues with these millions of unfilled jobs, it seems like that is going to be a place where officials, for lack of a better way to describe them, really need to be focusing their attention.
Absolutely. And, you know, and it comes down to, again, trying to match the talent and the ability of those workers to the jobs that are out there. And that's an ongoing issue. That's something that I think has gone through history of the United States. As we move from an agrarian to manufacturing, from a manufacturing to more automation, you're going to go through those periods where you're not going to be able to match up workers ideally with what's going on in the new economy.
I know when we started doing this Jobs Report podcast, there was that, I think I asked you what you thought about the economist that said we might hit 3.5% unemployment at some point. Are we far enough away from that where that's probably not going to happen?
You know, there's a couple of different moving parts, as we talked about, those people coming in off the sidelines that are now taking jobs, and the fact that with 160 to 175,000 new jobs to keep us even, and we've been running well above that, we should eventually get there as long as these numbers continue to be running at this pace. It's going to be harder and harder the closer and closer we get to that, but it's still a possibility. I don't know if it'll happen this year. We only have two more job reports left, but it is getting to be more and more of a possibility.
What do you see in the future? We have holiday hiring coming up. We have the end of the year. You mentioned the Fed. What could be the positives moving forward? What could be the negatives moving forward?
Well, I think, you know, really when you take a look at the jobs report, and we highlighted all the good news that's in there, and I don't see anything in a lot of the other economic data that would point to the fact that we're at peak and ready to roll over. That could happen, but I think that's going to be a discussion for 2019 or maybe 2020. So I think through the end of the year, I think the jobs are going to continue to be at this pace. We'll be sitting at 3.7. We should still see 180,000 to 200,000 new jobs the next couple months through the end of the year. The Fed will raise rates in December. Those, I think, are in place. Those trends I don't see changing at this point drastically. So the economy continues to move along. The numbers that we keep an eye on are weekly jobless claims, and those continue to run at 30, 40-year lows. So the job market continues to be very tight.
All right, Paul. Looks good.
Excellent.
How can people get a hold of you if they want to talk to you personally?
If they want to drop a note, we can talk the economy, financial markets, et cetera, or their portfolio. They can do it at pnolte@kingsviewam.com.
Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago, a senior portfolio manager. Nice enough to join us every week for our Jobs Report, or every month for our Jobs Report podcast. I'm Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.